Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most
merciful God, we confess that we are in danger of sin and unbelief. We have sinned against you, Father, for our deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your judgment and your punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Colossians, the third chapter. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, too, you also once walked when you were living in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Who I Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Have seen the risen Lord. Twice already he has appeared to them. He has shown them his hands and his side. He has breathed on them and spoken peace. And yet, here they are, back in Galilee, back in a boat, back at their nets. It seems ordinary enough, but there is more to it. There's something behind it. The cross has happened. The resurrection has happened. But they're confronted with a question. What now? What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? They return to what they know. "I am going fishing," says Peter. And maybe that isn't so different than us. When life is uncertain, when we are burdened by guilt or confusion or disappointment, we tend to return to the familiar. We go back to our routines. We busy ourselves. We work. We cast our nets into the water, hoping to catch something, anything. And then things will feel right again. And that night, they caught nothing. That's an important detail, because these are the experienced fishermen. They know the sea. And with all their effort, all their experience, all their strength, nothing. Empty nets. And it is there, in their emptiness, that Christ meets them. At daybreak, Jesus stands on the shore, but like the Emmaus Road, they don't recognize him. Resurrection doesn't mean instant clarity. Faith sometimes lacks recognition. Christ is there, yet he is hidden. He calls out to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered the stranger on the shore, honestly, "No." And in that simple confession of failure, everything changes. Because as long as we imagine that we have something, something to offer, something to contribute, something to prove, we do not receive what Christ gives. But when the nets are empty, when the answer is no, then we are ready to see that the Lord is the one who provides. He is the one who serves. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. It is a strange thing for the stranger to say. After all, they are the experts. But the right side instead of the left? It's not that big of a boat. What difference could it possibly make? The point here is not the technique. It is the one who speaks. And at his word, everything changes. They cast the net, and what was empty is now full, full to overflowing. So many fish that they cannot haul it in. The kingdom of God. That is how it works. Not by our strength, not by our wisdom, not by our effort, not by our techniques, but by the word of Christ. Where he speaks, there is life. There is fruit. There is abundance beyond what we could imagine, and certainly beyond what we could ever produce. And the beloved disciple gets it immediately. "It is the Lord," he cries out, and writes it down so that we'll know it many years later. And immediately, with his words, the competition with Peter seems to reemerge. It's sink or swim time for Peter, because he's sunk into these waters before. And no doubt recalling that he had recently been outrun to the tomb by the beloved disciple who had written it down for our benefits. Peter is determined not to be outswum at this point. He literally throws himself into the sea to be the first one to get to Jesus. That's Peter. And hopefully that's us. Faith may not always be calm or composed. It may be messy, even desperate, and perhaps even a little bit goofy at times. But when Christ speaks his word, we run or we swim. When they all reach the shore, they see something remarkable, a charcoal fire with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus has already prepared everything they need. Before they bring a single fish from their net, before they contribute anything at all, he has prepared a meal. We often imagine that we must bring something to Christ, our works, our efforts, our improvements. He has already done everything. The fire is burning, the fish is cooking, the bread is ready. He has kept the law, He has given his life for sin. The debt has been paid once for all. The resurrection has opened the way to eternal life. Salvation is complete. It is finished. And then Jesus does an amazing thing. He invites the three-time betrayer and the others who have deserted him to bring some of the fish you have just caught. He invites them to participate. He draws them into his work. But even this is by grace, for the fish they bring are the very fish he gave. So it is with us. Our works, our vocations, our service, as real, as important as they are not the source of life. They are fruits of Christ's word. What we bring has already been given. No, Jesus' words are simple. Come and have breakfast. Not explain yourselves, not prove your worth, not make up for your failures. Just come, receive. He welcomes and feeds them in his meal on the shore. And of course, it echoes something beyond itself. It points us to the ongoing life of the church where the risen Christ continually serves his people. He is both host and meal. He gives bread, he gives himself. And they receive and we receive in faith, not climbing up to God, but receiving what he gives. When your nets are empty, when your efforts seem fruitless, when your faith feels weak, when your life seems uncertain, Christ stands on the shore. When you do not recognize him, when he seems distant or hidden, he is there, speaking and calling to you. When you have nothing to offer, he already has everything prepared. This is his service to you. You who are burdened by sin, who deny and desert, who are weak in faith, he does not turn you away. He welcomes you. Come and have breakfast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us approach our Heavenly Father through the resurrected and glorified Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit poured out upon us, appealing for the salvation and life of the church, the world, and all enslaved by the powers of sin and evil. O Father of life, you have triumphed gloriously in the victory of Christ Jesus over sin and death. Enliven your church throughout the world that she may boldly proclaim that Christ has risen from the dead. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Father of life, you have made known the excellence of Christ Jesus' name in all the earth. Establish your justice in the reign of life in this nation, in the governing of its leaders, and the way of life of its people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Father of life, whose risen Son rules over all things, sow the desire for peace among the nations of this world, and bring to naught the plans of those who seek power through means of violence, so that all human life may be sustained. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Father of life, protect your baptized people from the sword of death, especially those living in places of intentional persecution, that they may find peace in the wilderness of suffering and opposition. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Father of life, through the resurrection of your Son, the perishable has put on the imperishable and the mortal immortality. Strengthen the bodies, minds, and spirits of the sick and hospitalized, and comfort those who are dying, that the resurrected Christ may be their strength and their everlasting salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Father of life, your Son ate and drank with his disciples after rising from the dead. Cleanse from us the old leaven of unbelief, so that we who celebrate the feast of Christ's body and blood may receive it with sincerity, truth, and faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you strong in faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Amen.